I know that you have a lot of interviews where you talk about politics, you talk about policy, but no one gets to know the man behind the office. So today I'm hoping to get to know you and get to, you know, let our audience get to know you.
Interesting concept. Okay, who am I?
Yes. So the first question I have for you is, what was your upbringing like and how would your parents describe you as a child?
Well, my parents, I was raised in West New York, lived in a cold water flat on Tyler Place, 6052 Tyler Place, I think the address was, on the top floor. And being cold water flat, you actually made your own heat. There were no radiators, and that's how people lived. If you looked at the old Honeymooners series, that's what the apartments looked like. And my brother and I were raised there. And then we moved into a house that my grandparents owned on 64th and Polk, when I was in about the first grade. And that's where I grew up the rest of the time and stayed there. And I went all the way to Memorial High School and through college while I lived there. I didn't move to North Bergen until I got married.
All right. So what would you say your first memory of North Bergen was? I know that you didn't live there as a child, but...
My first memory was this intense rivalry over the fact that one-time legendary head football coach Joe Corviello left Memorial and went to North Bergen. And he said he wouldn't play anybody he personally coached. So the first team he was willing to play was the team I was on as a senior. And it was a really, it was intense. Like, it's hard to imagine how two communities could get ready for a game. And no matter where you went, the question, who's going to win? And my answer was, come to the game. You know, the game drew about 20,000 people. They had to use Jersey City Roosevelt Stadium, which is now gone. And they did it on a Saturday night, which was rare. Usually the games were Sunday afternoon. And, you know, that's the first memory of North Bergen was the tense rivalry. I moved here in 1974, bought a house on 73rd Street, and I've been here ever since. You know, now I'm on 90th Street, but you know, this is where I've been all these years.
So what would you say the first thought in your head of that you could possibly become a mayor or that you would be a community leader? When do you think that first entered your mind?
I was never really interested. It was really funny. I was in, ran for the committee man spot because it was open, and enjoyed it. Enjoyed being a committee man, and then just worked at that. Worked on the district level for numerous years, and then decided I would run on a ticket. The first run was not successful. It was 1983.
So you have lost an election.
I lost an election in 1983.
That might be
close
to some of our
policies. We lost about 9,000 to 6,000. It was a nasty, nasty election. And when it was over, there were a lot of reprisals taken by the administration. That was probably their mistake. They should have reached over, shook hands, told me to go away, and just forget about the horrible election. Instead, they suspended me without pay from my principal's job. And I had to spend from August until March without a penny coming in. And I had a child. And so, you learn a lot more about human nature when you're out than when you're in. You know, and there were people who wouldn't even stand next to me. You know, I'd go see a game and they would like scatter rather than walk me. And the ones who walked with me, you never forget.
Yes.
You know, guys you wouldn't remember, like a man like Jimmy Gallo, okay, the former phys ed teacher in high school. God rest him, he walked around Kearney Stadium with me, and when most people were running away. I mean, it was like I had the plague. You know, and then won the case, came back. It was probably the funniest thing that happens is that I keep winning, they keep appealing. I don't get any money. When I finally win my final appeal, they come out with a stack of checks that there's a big cardboard of all checks that were all stapled together. And people are screaming in the unemployment office, look at all the money he's getting, look at all the money he's getting. They cut the checks, I cast the checks. 2 weeks later, we settled the case. And I had to get the money back.
Oh, you had to give the money back?
Yeah, sure. It wasn't mine. You know, they had to pay me for the time I was out. So, but what that did, it made me decide that since they came after me, it's going to be me or them. And that's how I dealt with it. They called me into the office of superintendent of schools. We don't have any trouble with you if you'll stop now. And I just got up and slammed the door on them. It was going to be me or them. And the election comes down to, I think I won it by 225 votes in 1985. The low man on the ticket won by 39 votes. So it was that close in midsummer election. So that's early recollection, and that's something which I think some of the younger people may be interested in.
Yeah, I agree. Had some questions that were submitted by followers.
Sure.
So first question, what was your first job?
My first job, I was 13 years old and worked in Turco Brothers Fruit Stand on 62nd and Bergerline. My brother worked there before me. He's 3 years older than me, so he was working there. And he got me a part-time job there, and I worked there. And if you want to talk about a brutal business, the fruit business, I mean, it's like, you know, it starts early in the morning with people going to the market. I even did that run one time. You stayed up 24 hours doing it. And you worked. It was never warm because you had to keep the fruit cold. You know, everything had to be cold, so you never could find a place to get warm. It was, Christmas time, you were selling Christmas trees, and, it was a lot of fun. Because we had a group of young guys there, and we just had a lot of fun. After that, when I was in, I actually worked in other fruit stands also because I had some experience.
All right.
So there was one right down. There used to be right where Lowe's is. There was a big fruit stand. There was one out in Carlstead that I worked in. Then in college, I worked in. What was called was Meat Containers. It was on Tumley Avenue, and it was a cardboard, corrugated cardboard, and you went and you caught the cardboard off the sheets. And cardboard is treacherous because I had 27 cuts counted on my thumb, because every time it cuts you, after a while you don't bleed.
You just
stop bleeding, you know. You catch it. And they bust your chop and say, you got blood on a cardboard. You know? And I worked even on the night shift there. And I did that during some summers. There was national brands when I was in college also. That was in Hoboken. And we worked there. And it all depends. Some jobs were very easy. Some jobs were hard. You know, but you know, it was a good way to learn that maybe I'm better off staying in college and not getting out. You know, because you know it was kind of interesting, but you know, it was different. When you were done with the day, you were done with the day. You went home. This job now it never ends.
You know,
2 o'clock in the morning, there are calls coming in. You know.
Another question we had from a follower. He wants to know, what was the most powerful lesson you learned from a mistake you've had in your life?
I'd like to think I'm flawless, but I could tell you one. I was angry when after they put me through the hoops after we lost the election. And I go home and I say, I'm going to get them all back. I'm going to get them all back someday. And then realized that if they would have come to me and shook my hand, I was done. I would have kept my word, never bothered them again. And when an election is won by 225 votes, and I carried my ward by about 600 votes, they would be in office now. Yeah. You know, so the lesson was, don't go for vengeance. Try to include people. Try to be, you know, try to bring people in. You have a better town and a better environment for everybody if you can do it. And I remember saying to some of the people, none of this would have happened if they would have just, the election's over, everybody go home, calm down. It, with Bobby Januszewski, when he and Brett Shundler lined up against me for the Senate seat. When it was over, I met with Bob and I said, no reprisals. I don't want anyone who backed me hurt, and I don't want to reach out to try to hurt anybody you have. Let's put this all together. And we ended up being very good friends. You know, until he ran into his trouble, we ended up being very good friends.
How would you describe yourself as a father to Mickey Jr.?
I spent as much time as I could. There were times I look back and say, you know, there were times I would be coming home later than I would have liked to. Like, at those days, when he was young, I would set the time to say, I'll be back at 7 o'clock at night, you know? That gave some quality time. When they suspended me without pay, I had all the time in the world with him. You know, you talk about, like, you have 8 months that you're the caregiver because you're half his day. I didn't have to go to work. But I made every football game he ever played, and every scrimmage that he ever was in, on all the levels he played, all the way up to high school. And we had a thing, I drive him to the games, like, you know, to the rec area here. We'd talk and keep things, talk about the game. So we worked out that pretty well. When he played basketball, which he did up into the eighth grade, I agreed to perform a wedding down South Jersey for one of my teachers. And he ended up getting into an all-star game. So I drove down there, performed the wedding, had a glass of soda, got in the car and drove back to see the game, you know? That was what I should be doing. And I ended up doing it because I enjoyed it, you know?
Of course.
And also, my house was also the house where the kids hung out in. He and his friends would come to the house, and we had a big back room, and they just hang out, watch TV, watch different shows, or wrestling programs, if they was WrestleMania on or something like that. They would all just pile into my house, which I felt good about.
What is some advice you would give to someone who is aspiring to be in politics, especially local here?
Don't do it. You know, you lose a good part of your life. And I think I have to tell someone, if you want to give up a lot of your personal life, if you want to take a lot of personal attacks, you know, many of them unjustified, and if you want to go through all this, and I think that's why you're having trouble finding candidates now, because nobody wants to take the abuse that goes with this. We've gotten, there was a time in politics, there were like gentlemen agreements. And, you know, you treated people respectfully. The losers of an election would go see the winners and congratulate them. Because that's where I started in politics in West New York. When you think I was a campaign manager, and the night we lost, we went over to see the DeFino ticket that won and congratulated them. There was some sort of a, and you didn't go anywhere that you shouldn't go into their personal lives. Now your personal life is under a microscope. So you have to be willing to take that. You can do a lot of good. And this is the one thing I could tell them. If they want to make changes and make things better for people, stay focused and work at it. But just remember, you're going to be attacked many times unfairly because you can't satisfy everybody. And somebody just wants your spot just because they want it. You know? What are you doing wrong? Nothing. I want to be you. Yeah, I agree. That's all.
I agree. So. I think in the comment section of the video, we're going to have people attacking me and you.
Yeah.
One, because I didn't ask questions they would want, and vice versa. So I totally understand that. So, all right. So I want to get into kind of a speed round. I'm going to ask five questions. The answer is just yes or no.
Okay.
So does pineapple belong on pizza?
No.
Does Central New Jersey exist?
Yes, it does. Right now, it's being dominated by Middlesex County, so it very much exists.
Okay. Does Midtown North Bergen exist?
There is no really Midtown. What we call the Midtown is really Uptown, because the town goes over and out to Fifth Street. So the Midtown Democratic Club, which is where there's a bar there right now and a polling place, is really not Midtown. So but people have gotten used to calling 32nd Street Lower downtown, but when you get down into the 6th Ward area where you live, that's really downtown also.
Yes.
So finding a Midtown is hard.
All right.
Yeah. Well, you're a Midtown. You're a Midtown.
I would consider myself Midtown.
You're a Midtown.
Is it called pork rolls?
I don't know.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
No.
Okay. I'm going to say a person from North Bergen. You let me know one word that you would describe them as, or the first word that comes to your mind.
Yeah.
Joey Diaz.
He's a comedian. Yeah. He's really good.
Yeah.
He makes a lot of fun in North Bergen.
Evan Rodriguez.
A great role model for our kids.
Vincent Ascalies.
A gentleman, a real gentleman. The one thing he could do better than anybody I ever met was motivate a group of kids to play football.
Kyle Anderson.
Kyle is a great talent. He bought his house, a house for his mother on 75th Street, the red cobblestone street. She could have moved anywhere in the world she wanted to go, and she moved here, and I'm very proud of that family.
Awesome. And I said I wouldn't get you, but I got you, but HUD Post.
HUD Post can be very pesky at times, but I enjoy it. I read it and enjoy it. You're doing a really good job with it.
Thank you. Okay. I appreciate this.
Thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure. I think everyone wants to know what kind of phone does the mayor have.
Samsung.
Samsung. All right.
Samsung.